Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm ready.
All right, well then we'll start with the I'm ready, Katie. Welcome back to the shift, everybody.
Welcome back to the shift. I'm drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah, as you always are.
Yeah, this time I'm drinking Earl Grey. I've gotten a bit fancy.
It's 1:30 a.m. Dublin time.
It's... what time is here?
8:30. It's 8:30 p.m. It's half eight in New York. It's 1:30 a.m. here. And you're heading away, so we needed to get this done.
Yeah, I'm going to San Francisco in the morning. Oh, I have so much to do. Have shaved legs.
Yeah, well, let's get this done fast. As it turns out, I had a sneaky 2.5 hours at the airport to kill a couple of days after we recorded the last ep when I was in Tenerife. And I sat in the VIP lounge with Joanne McNally, and I snuck in an ep. And originally I was going to put it up on the Des Bishop podcast, but we ended up having a kind of a follow-on discussion from last week's episode, which I had sort of teased Joanne with anyway in conversation when we were recording. I told her we were going to talk about fuckboys. But originally, we were talking about booze, because she wrote an article for the Irish Independent that she uses alcohol as a crutch. So the original discussion was about booze, which is why I thought I put up in the Des Bishop podcast. But then we got into all sorts of other relationship stuff. So that's coming up.
It's great.
But before we get into that, you and I are here doing a little intro.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, I want to present to you a dilemma that I just encountered, actually.
Okay, I'm excited.
It's not related to me.
Okay.
In fact, she is a listener to the podcast.
Okay.
The other person, I have absolutely no idea if they listen to the podcast, but I want to keep it pretty vague. So let's just say somebody not from Ireland is visiting.
Okay.
And in the past, in not Ireland, they had a few... this girl's 22, by the way. She had a few dates with an Irish man who was not in Ireland, obviously. And they were good dates. And it was a... you know, I guess in the end, she caught some feelings for this guy. But it was never... In the relationship zone, and it was pretty, I guess, a short term fling, but it did sort of finish with him going back to Ireland and her definitely having feelings for the guy, but nothing super intense. They just kept in touch, and she was planning this trip to Ireland that she has taken, independent of this liaison with this guy.
Okay,
I don't even know why I'm keeping the places out of it, because, you know, if this guy's not going to listen, but if he did, he already knows it's about him. So I don't even know why I'm trying to, pretend that it's not. So anyway, they keep in touch, but nothing, like, it was not like super long distance relationship, but they just kept in touch, and they organized to meet up. And, you know, she was in Ireland actually a few days before they met up, and very quickly she was completely smitten with this guy. Now, she'll be in Ireland 16 days by the time her trip is over. I know this is long-winded, but I want to give you the whole story.
No, okay? That's okay.
She'll be in Ireland 16 days when her trip is completely over, which I think she leaves on Thursday. Thursday morning, she leaves Ireland. And she spent, she's been with this guy three times since, and it's full on. They're sleeping together. She's like in love with this guy. Okay. He's 24, by the way.
Oh, Jay, yeah, that's young. Well, she's young
seen
too.
A picture of lovely looking dude. Okay.
Yeah.
And she, two nights, I guess, were very, you know, pretty full on. And then yesterday they had like an afternoon date. And she's here till Thursday, by the way. And so he said to her yesterday that this is the last time we're going to see each other because I've just got a new job and I'm really busy and I have to study. So I'm not going to be able to see you before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this girl is straight up in love with this guy. I mean, we know it's the early days, infatuation and all that, but she is like in it. You know?
Yeah.
And can I just point out that this girl is as hot as they come and as lovely as they come.
Aww.
I mean, she is a straight up New York 10.
Wow.
Okay?
Oh, which like, is like fucking, oh my God, people here are gorgeous.
She is fucking, she is a cracker. When I see you, I'm going to show you.
Oh yeah, can't wait.
Her pictures on Instagram. I mean, she is fucking a knockout.
Wow.
Right? And on top of it, she's like the loveliest, like, coolest person, you know.
So nice.
So like, she should not be fucking, you know, she shouldn't be the smitten one. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen a picture of this guy, good looking dude, but like, she's over, you know, she's, you know, they're a good match in terms of they're two good looking people, but like, I think she's better looking than him, but who am I to judge? But anyway, that's irrelevant. So she's not happy about this, even though she was already planning to come back because she's in love with this guy.
Yeah, but it just sounds okay. So today is Sunday. He's there till
So that was yesterday. So that was yesterday. Yeah, Saturday. Well, today's she's not leaving for another 4 days.
If he had the feelings that she had, he'd fit her in between work. That's it. No matter what, no matter how busy we are, you fucking find the time. And
now let me add
what I think.
That he has been talking to her about how he can't wait to go. He can't wait to visit her in New York, and is talking about all these future plans.
Yeah. Oh well. Then
but
maybe,
I'm thinking,
well,
like, how can you be talking about the future when the fucking present has her in it?
Yeah, I think like because it's like sure I fucking work, you know, a day job and do comedy at night. But if there was someone here that I really wanted to see, I would fucking fit them into it. You know, I would be like. Right, I'll see
like
you
after. Even just like 1 hour.
100%. Absolutely, no way. You'd find the time, that's it. You would, even if it was just an hour a day, I completely, especially while they're here, like there's no job that you're going to be 24 hours a day. There's no way you're not going to not take a break, like if you're studying.
Yeah, he says he's got to do some study for some test, they're going to test him, but even still, like.
Yeah, you'd have a half an hour, come over for a cup of tea, bring over the biscuits,
I mean, you took the words out of my mouth, but okay. So
I think as far as I'm concerned, that
part I didn't need to ask you, right? Because that part to me was just like, there's just no fucking way.
Yeah. And the thing is.
But the thing is that, but the annoying thing is that she's so deep in it. And I've been there. We've all been there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She's so deep in it. She can't bring herself. She knows, I reckon. She knows it's not good enough.
Well, that's why she's getting mad. She's getting mad because she fucking is probably like, oh, fucking knew this. Maybe like, you know, where you're just like, because you're always thinking the good and the bad. And when the bad happens, you're like, oh, I knew this.
Yeah, but she doesn't seem to be thinking the bad with this guy. Like she's almost giving him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so anyway, what should she do? She's still here. It's Sunday night. She's here. Well, first of all, she's not even here tomorrow. They're going somewhere else, like part of the holiday. She's with her friends, right? But mm-hmm. two of the friends have gone. So she's just got like... her other friend, and all these girls, by the way, super fun, like just lovely girls. But she's back on Tuesday and Wednesday. Like she's in Dublin.
She should. You know? She because it's like I think anyway. I'm all like most people would probably be like, oh, just you know, fuck 'em, explore Ireland. But I'm always like, just you know, be vulnerable and who you know, because like, you've nothing to lose. Like so, I think she should be like. She should text him or call him and be like, look, I know you're busy, but I'll only be here for those 2 days. And who knows when you're in New York. So if you can fit me in even for just a half an hour for a cup of tea, like, I'd love to see you and see what he says then, because that'll give him the benefit.
No, 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 but just so you know, like, she's already kind of said, like, she's already been like, I would like to see you.
And he was like, well, then there's nothing she can do. That's it. If she's already said it, and he's like, oh, no.
No, I know, but should she, no, wait, so should okay. she, I told her she should send him she should tell him that, like, for the record, like, this isn't really good enough, but not like in a bad way, but just be like, just so you know, I understand that you're busy and I know that you're working, but for me and the way that I feel about you, we need to see each other, even if it's just for a half an hour. And if you know, like, but I couldn't find the right way to give her the wording, but I felt like she needed to let him know yeah. that, like, unless we meet up, there's not going to be anything. Because I told her that, like, it's a minimum that he would be like, at least let's just get a cup of tea, or, like, go for a walk on Sandy Mount Strand for half an hour while I clear my head from study.
Yeah, the whole...
Like, to me, that's minimum.
And it'd be completely fine if he were like, yeah, I'm busy, look, but hadn't made those promises to see her in the future. Like, don't be like, oh, I'm busy, but can't wait to see you in New York. Just be like, do you know what? We had our fun, it's done. Yeah, and look...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Because to me, it reads as he's just trying to get out of it. Like, what fucking job? I mean, this girl is so fucking hot on top of everything else. Like, how can you not give an hour?
Yeah, like...
I just don't get that.
But why even talk about the future? Like, just have the fun while you're there then and then.
Exactly. And like, I mean, he's straight up... She's thinking about fucking coming back here in March. I was like, how can you come back here?
Yeah.
Knowing that this guy wouldn't fucking see you for an hour for fucking
no, it's
4
crazy.
Days while you're here.
Now, like, I know you're saying that she should... By her saying what you say to say, you're literally spelling it out for him. And if he doesn't fucking get it then... But I probably wouldn't. I'd probably be like, if I'd been like, look, I'd love to see you and I only have a little bit of time left. And then and if he was like, well, no, I'm busy, I'd be like, fuck it then, you know, because if someone wants to see you.
Well, that's already happened.
Yeah, so I'd...
And she is not... But yeah, but you got to understand something. She's smitten.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, she's not in the...
I know, but he should be...
She's not in the zone of like, oh, okay. She's in the zone of, I'm smitten and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. She's giving him the benefit of the doubt right
when,
now.
When is he planning to come to
New York? Even though it's driving her insane.
When is he planning to come to New York?
No, there's no plan. That's just a future whenever.
Oh, yeah. That's probably not going to... It's probably just because he's fucking 25 and that's it. Like,
he's 24.
Or 24, yeah. So she could be bloody, you know, like as hot as you're saying, and he's just 24, you know? That's it. Like, it's probably just not... I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. It's probably better. Look, probably is for the best for her to do what you just say, just to get that direct rejection and then she can move on from it. But I think if he was really fucking interested, this wouldn't even be an issue. He'd be making the effort.
I know, but I told her, I said, listen, you know, because she's convinced that he's a sweet guy and he's stressed out. You know, she's giving him benefit of the doubt on the stress, which actually I told her, I was like, that is totally fine if... He steps up to the plate.
Yeah.
It's okay that he fucked up a little bit. The stress, you know, it sounds like he's from a home where perhaps he gets a lot of pressure from his parents to succeed. So, like, it's okay to give him the benefit of the doubt. But for yourself, you have to allow him a chance to step up. And if he doesn't step up, you have to fucking back yourself that it's not good enough.
My first advice would be, if he didn't make the fucking effort and you asked, like, I'd probably be like, but like you said, she's smitten. I don't see it going well, but we don't know what's inside his head. I don't know this person. I'm very much like, you know, if I ask, I'm not going to keep asking, you know, but here's an idea. So she's already said, look, I'd love to see you, and he's gone, I'm busy, right? I'm going to be like, so busy. She could text, she could call him or text him and say, if we're going to meet up again in New York, I'll definitely need to see you again while I'm here, because I'm not, I could be...
Yeah,
could
well, that's the ultimatum. I mean, that is basically what I, but, you know, I don't know how to articulate that, but that's what I'm saying to her.
But in like a nice way, so like, kind of like in a, hey, I know you're busy and you're studying, but I definitely think we should meet up before I go, because I'm, you know, I'm not here. I'm not going to be here again for God knows when, but here's a solution. You're going to need to go for a walk in between your studying, or a cup of tea or lunch. I'll do that with you. So it's not like, because he might be like, Here's the only thing I'm thinking, he might be like, I can't commit to a date and I don't want to just fucking say something shitty like a rocker cup of tea or whatever. And
I don't know what I'd be doing. I mean, I don't have the details on whether she hit him with like, let's just meet up for an hour yet.
Okay, because I think I that would be that, good. Because
I know,
like,
but when I, yeah, well, sorry, what I was going to say was,
yeah,
like her friend has been saying like, you can't meet up for 1 hour. So I'm assuming that that stuff has been discussed already.
Well, then look, if she's already put that out there, and he can't even give her a fucking hour. Like, no one's studying all day.
I know, that's what I feel like. I just feel like, come on. But, you know, the one thing I don't know for sure is if she actually was just like, can you seriously not meet me for an hour when I live 3,000 miles away and I'm here right now?
Yeah.
And like,
but
listen,
you don't want to have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that.
I know, but she's worried she's coming across as clingy. You know, obviously that's her concern. Plus she's 22, so, you know, she's like... You know, she's like concerned that she's coming across like the crazy bitch. But I was telling her, I was like, no, what you want is like the fucking minimum.
Yeah, you're not coming across as a crazy bitch at all. But I'm saying like,
no
way. I probably wouldn't be like, hello, because, well, actually, do you know what? Never mind. I probably would because I can be very direct. So I just realized.
So let me ask you this. Let me just change the scenario for you just so we can be real clear. Say you're her friend, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen all this going down. Not saying to her, but in your own head, would you or would you not be thinking, fuck this guy?
Fuck this guy.
Because you're not.
Fuck this guy.
This is a straight up fuck this guy scenario.
Oh, 100%. Because, like, and I'm only because you're saying, no, like, let's try. But I genuinely think this is, she's only there for a few days. He can fucking, a half an hour, an hour. No way. Absolutely. You just make the
actually
effort.
You know what, like I can't resist, like we're talking on the phone,
yeah,
but I'm sending you a fucking picture of this. I gotta show you what this fucking guy is fucking is like blowing off.
I know. And that's what he is like. You're right, it's like the minimum. She's there fucking because like When you want to see someone, you fucking see them. That's it. And you make the effort. And if you don't, like, it doesn't, if he's not going to make the effort now, how are they going to have anything while she's in a different country? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And she's like in love. Like, I told her, I was like, I know this feeling that you're having, you know, it's so fucking intense. And, you know, I get it. I've been there, you know, I've looked at the phone and I've also done what she's doing, this kind of like benefit of the doubt, like it's going to be okay. And like, she wants to come back to Ireland soon. And she's telling me like, it's not because of him. I was going to do it anyway. I was like, please don't fucking lie to yourself.
Oh my fucking God.
You're literally
God.
Fucking coming back for this guy.
She
yeah. Hello?
Is the hottest thing I've
the
ever
hottest
seen.
Fucking thing going.
Holy shit.
Do me a favor over here. Like,
oh my God. And you're saying she's nice.
I mean,
as well.
Like, ugh. What?
Then you're saying she's nice. Her body is stunning. Stunning.
Insane.
He sent me, just insane. For listeners, sent me like a bikini. Also, her bikini looks great.
Don't say anything. I mean, I have sent you like a mega hot one, but like you see her Insta, you can check her Insta. Like,
no, but her face, she's so pretty. Your skin is beautiful. Oh my God, ugh. I fancy her. Here, send her over to me.
Do me a favor. Like, and she loves the pod. She loves the pod.
She's gorgeous. Look, come here. Gorgeous girl, no matter what. Anyway, you are 22, and I know this. I fucking hated when people would say this to me when I was younger, but because I've had serious infatuations, and then I've been like, yeah, I'm fucking in love with this guy, and then a year later, maybe like bumped into them again and been like, oh, thank God they like fucked up and blew me off or whatever. And blew me off, is that the right way to say that? Blew yeah, well, anyway, we fucked up because like hindsight is,
you know,
great.
And they hadn't seen each other from like August till now, you know.
Yeah, I think.
And the crazy thing is, he said to her, I just want to let you know that I haven't been with anybody since I was with you.
Ugh, I know, that's such a head fuck. That is such a head fuck. I hate that. Like, it's great.
And I said, it's so
true.
Funny you should say that. I said, because myself, Katie, I said, Katie was literally saying last week how guys say shit that they don't need to say. Like, in other words, like, he's got her already.
Oh my
Why
God.
Are you fucking saying that?
I don't
And of
know.
Course, I'm an asshole. I was like, that's a fucking straight up lie. I was like, it's a straight. She's like, oh, no, I think he means it. I was like, well, we don't know whether he means it or not, but I tell you, there's a higher percentage chance that he's full of fucking shit.
I know.
Then then she was like, both of them, actually, both girls were like, well, why would he say that? I was like, I don't know. But what I've learned from this fucking podcast is that men are fucking assholes. Yeah. Straight up pigs. Fucking like fucking dogs.
But the reason why they say it is because they want to make you feel special and want to make it. And look, yeah. And maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe no one, no, maybe he didn't get the ride. But this is the thing. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck if he didn't fuck anybody since he had sex with her? Doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter saying this stuff. All the saying... Say it all you want if you're also going to do the actions. And the action would be...
All right, one 4 final
days
thing.
And you're not going to see her. 4 more days.
So that's what I was going to say. Just to finish this off, because I could actually talk about this for a long time. What... Like, you know, what could be... If he is actually dipping out, like if he's actually like afraid to say to her, like, listen, I'm done.
Yeah.
If he's actually dipping out, what could bring a 24-year-old boy to dip out on the final 4 days? Like if you're actually feeling like, first of all, she's not clingy because they've only been... She's in Ireland 16 days, and they will have seen each other 3 times if they never see each other again. So, like, even if you're, like, an emotionally unavailable guy, that's a fucking home run.
Yeah.
She hasn't given him any pressure.
Yeah.
You know, if I... Because, I am no fucking saint. I have definitely been in scenarios where suddenly you feel jammed up, like, oh, shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I got to get out of this. But if they're leaving, it's always like, no matter what, I have an out. You know?
Well, exactly. Might as well have fun and enjoy it. And then if you are
done,
you text or whatever when they're gone.
if he's dipping out, what makes him think I'm gonna just leave her hanging for these 4 days when he's actually saying I can't wait to see you in New York? What drives that?
Well, there could be... Oh, this is probably not the reason, but maybe he did get strong feelings and he's like, it's not fucking realistic. I don't want to do this too much when she lives over there.
Yeah, but still, you still enjoy. He's protecting himself against getting hurt.
No, I know. I did say that's probably not the reason, but I can't think.
No, I know.
Look,
I know.
I wonder what the test is. Maybe he's like going for like a surgeon test or something. It's like something really big.
Dude, fine. It's not. He just started some new job, but it's not like.
No, it's crazy. It's honestly.
It doesn't matter, man. Even if he was like.
He's not. He's.
If he was like a doctor, it's like. But look, let's have a coffee.
But even if she's the hot, which she is, she's fucking gorgeous, right? And she's a great personality and stuff like that. But so have a lot of my friends, and the guys have not been half as good looking, and they fucking backed out, or they haven't dated them, or they've treated them shitty. So it doesn't matter, you know. It doesn't matter how good looking, or you know, he just might not have, or maybe he realized kind of the feelings she was having, maybe, and then he was like, "Well, I don't have that, so I'm not gonna fucking." Yeah. Waste her time. But she's not even coming on that strong.
That's what's hilarious. But she has to give him some sort of ultimatum without being too, without seeming crazy, which she's not gonna.
Oh, here we go.
She has to articulate in some way, shape, or form.
But hold on, she's only seen him 3 times in 16 days.
Well, it will be 16 days if they don't see each other again.
But he also might think she's over here with her friends. I don't want to fuck. Because I remember when your man was.
I know, but that's past though now, because she is.
Because she
told him she wants to see him again.
And he's been like, oh, I can't.
Okay, well, no, he's saying, I can't. I'm too busy.
Well, that's it. Look, there's nothing she can do. If she said, look, I really want to see you, and he said, I can't. Well, you can't convince somebody. Like, he should be like, oh, yeah, I'll try to fit you in. No, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything she could do. She can ultimate him all she wants, but she's just going to be like, no, look, I'm just not feeling it, I think. Because if she said.
Yeah, I mean, listen, she's got to hit him with, like, shit, I get off the pot in some way, in my opinion. And. You know, we won't get the feedback until it's too late.
I know. I just think, if he's not, I think if she was like, I want to see you, and he's like, I can't. Well, that's kind of your answer, really.
Yeah.
That's
like I understand if she lived in Ireland and it's like,
of course.
We have to wait till next week.
Yeah.
You know, but like not another chance to see each other for even if she did decide to come back when she's saying she's going to come back. It's still 2 months away.
But the thing is as well, even if he did spend the time with her, you're not committing to anything. You're not committing to a relationship. You're not like she goes back. So it should be just like enjoy it. And then you can talk, look, if she was like afterwards, look, I fucking smitten. I'm going to go back. I want to do a long distance relationship. And if he was like, well, that's not for me. we can do that after those 4 days. Like, you can kind of have that. Or maybe he'll be like, oh, actually, I would like to do that. But,
you know, it doesn't make sense. End up wrecking her trip. You know, this guy's going to leave her cold. And then she's going to have wasted all this fucking energy. Because you know where she's at. You know that.
I fucking
you know that
know,
feeling, right? They're looking for the text and why hasn't he... You know, she's got all that going on.
It's terrible.
It's the worst.
And the thing is as well, because you're like, look, when someone... You have to be realistic. And when you're like, when someone likes you, they will text. They will call. They will fucking make the effort to see you.
I mean, he has been doing... They have been texting away. The one thing is he hasn't backed off on the texting.
Well, that's weird. If he hasn't backed off on the texting...
I know. That's why the whole thing is weird.
Because usually they back off in the text, and that's usually the you're like, oh, jeez, and know, same as yourself.
It's so fucking weird. But I mean, basically, our it's a consensus decision that in some way she needs to articulate that, like, it's not good enough if they don't meet up.
Yeah, but I wouldn't it. I wouldn't. Okay, if I were going, I probably wouldn't do that. But also, I'm 29, and I'm like at that stage where. But if I were 22,
yeah, but
I would have done
it. You're saying you would just leave it.
Yeah, I would just leave it. But look, Bush. Put myself in the I would have been like, I'd love to see you. And if you were like, I can't, I probably would have just been like, okay, well, that's a pity. No, do you know what? I probably would, if I was really mad about him, and I probably would have responded being like, well, look, I could even meet you for a half an hour. I'm available. You let me know, but I'd really like it. I definitely would hammer down on it. But
yeah.
And if he was like, no, I'm too busy, then I'd be like, okay, that's grand. But let's say that's me. I would just leave it at that. If I've already kind of said it twice. But let's say you're saying that she needs to be very clear. Like, she could just be like, hey, look, I wouldn't say this only for, I am going back to America. But if you do want to meet up in America again, like, try to make the effort to fit me in before I go. I would say it.
I wouldn't even need to be like, if you want to meet me in America, I would just need to be like, for what we've experienced, like, I just think I need us to meet up again.
Yeah.
Like,
it's hard.
It has to happen. Like,
yeah, well, that's perfect. Just say, look, for what we've experienced, look, I really, really would like to meet up with you again before I leave, because who knows when we'll see each other again.
I mean, I would like, for her own head, I think she needs to just... she needs to give the guy a chance to redeem himself, actually. That's really what I feel.
And you wouldn't know, and with the stress and everything, he might be just being a fucking idiot. And he's 24.
Yeah,
so
he might. That's what I told her. I was like, he might be being an idiot. He might be under a lot of pressure at home.
Call him.
So give him the chance to redeem himself. And if he doesn't redeem himself, you got to be honest with yourself. You can't fucking come back for him. You got to fucking cut him out.
And don't text, because he'd be sitting there for an hour with anxiety waiting for that text, and he might not have seen his phone. I'd pick up the phone and call and be like, hey, look. And because then your tone of voice will be very logical. Like, you need to keep it nice and normal and not fucking...
Yeah.
You can't be read as a nutbag.
All right, well, yes.
Because the thing
good
is...
Good advice, Katie.
Because the thing is, as well, in his... To play a devil's advocate, like, his life is going on there, and they didn't... she wasn't coming over to be with him. You know, she was coming over to be with her friends, and being with him was a bonus. So his life
doesn't
stop.
They have been chatting in the meantime. But
no,
you know,
I know
what else? We've been talking about this for 30 fucking minutes. I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, keep us posted. And you're gorgeous anyway, so you'd be grand, to be honest. He probably just knows you're too hot for him. He's probably insecure about it.
So, anyway, I get the rest of this chat is with me and Joanne. And then I almost feel like I should split that. Was that engaging enough for a half an hour? Like, did we overtalk that?
Maybe.
I can't believe how long we've been talking.
I got really
about
into
that.
It.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we got into it. That's good. Well, listen, the rest of this chat is actually. So I talked to Joanne about booze originally. She's really questioning her relationship with alcohol.
That's great. I can't wait.
So that's good, which I think you'll enjoy when you listen to it, Katie.
Yeah, I will.
And then we just basically get into more of the shit we've just been like, it's basically like, what the fuck is going on with guys sometimes? This is myself. For the people that don't know, Joanne McNally is an Irish comedian, and we were taping this this travel show in Tenerife, and we snuck in this chat, and myself and Katie will be back after the chat to wrap things up. Oh, ignore us. We're just speaking into the mic, so you don't have to. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just people around, I think sometimes they... I would hate people to think that they need to be quiet because of us.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no.
We're just passing time. Our flight's delayed, you know, so... I'm sort of speaking to this guy, by the way. Just in case
back,
he was for a sec. So, anyway, just before we turned on the mic, we were chatting about alcohol.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, actually.
I'm currently obsessed with it. And because I know, obviously, you don't drink. So when you're around, when I'm worried that I'm drinking too much, so when you're around someone who doesn't drink at all, your drinking is, like, magnified. You can just...
In your
every
head.
Every mouthful, you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, it's just, you feel like a complete pisshead.
Yeah.
And then
which,
I'm
of
like,
course,
fuck,
I hate.
Am I a pisshead?
I don't want... Well... Like, honestly, let me give you a quick comparison.
Okay.
Have you ever gone to, like, what you perceive in your mind to be a very highbrow comedy show, and suddenly you become paranoid about one or two of your bits as if they're beneath this audience?
I probably have.
But anyway, the whole point is that, obviously, different scenarios can make you paranoid about certain things.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you shouldn't be.
I'm very conscious because I think I'm really paranoid about drinking at the moment as well, because everyone's talking about dry January, and I was like, I just don't think I could actually do it, and that's a problem.
But that's so funny that you say that, because I did the shift with Katie, which went up on Tuesday.
Well,
we did a bit about dry January, but I told her to just cut it. She was doing the edit. I said cut it out just because it was very long. But I was basically saying, what makes me laugh about fucking dry January? Mm. It's all these people talk about being off the booze for 10 days, and then they're giving like this whole like, well, this is what I've learned about life from not drinking for 10 days, which, by the way, you can do accidentally.
I know, yeah.
You know, your life can just get quite busy, and then you don't drink for 10 days. But then when you make a decision not to drink for 10 days and your whole focus is not drinking, then suddenly people are having all these like life revelations, which, by the way, is total, like, it's great. You learn a few things, but if you know you're just going to drink again in a month, it's completely irrelevant.
They kind of become enlightened in that very short space of time.
And it makes me laugh. I don't want to say I can't stand it, but I kind of enjoy it in a very cynical, sort of like laughing at them sort of way. Especially when they have these like celebratory drinks on February 1st. Like,
and it's get absolutely shit faced.
Yeah, like it's been as you take a sip of Prosecco. Like as if it's been like a real struggle to have 30 days.
But it probably was a struggle for them. Like my fear as well is this kind of like wine o'clock thing, which has made basically women think that like being an alco is kind of chic. Like we're accidentally becoming alcoholics because we're being told to unwind in the evening with a glass of wine, and that it's this like chic civilized experience. And I have women I know my age going in with like liver damage already in their late 30s.
Well, yeah,
it's terrifying.
I mean, this is actually a real public health issue. I mean,
yeah.
When I did Under the Influence, we covered it. Of course, I got a load of jip back from Irish people because I made this critical look at Irish people.
And well, yeah, because you know there's that whole stereotype that Americans think they're alcoholics because they got pissed one Friday and blacked out.
Yeah, it was
once,
a little deeper
whatever.
Than that. But anyway, but the whole thing is that in reality, I don't care if people get angry, because particularly around women, and this is not alcoholism isn't a female issue, but with freedom has come increased levels of alcohol consumption for women.
Yeah.
Plus, obviously, marketing to women, and also just the cultural shift of wine being the sort of the female bonding ritual.
Yeah, it's like mommies, you know, mummies drinking wine, like going for wine, like pushing their kids in the pram because they're bored once they stop breastfeeding. Like it's, and women, I think, I'm going to whip out stats that I don't know if they're true or not.
Okay.
Roughly. There's something like the increase in female alcoholics has gone up by 84% or something in the last 3 years. Well, terrifying.
I don't know the current percentages, but the one stat that is so frightening is the increase in liver disease for women.
Yeah,
and there is only one reason for that, and that is alcohol consumption.
And there's nothing you can do. Isn't that right? Like, once your liver's gone, it's gone.
No. I mean, well, okay. I'm outside my field of expertise, but it's not
no
ideal.
Symptoms. Like, it's just, you're fucked straight. It's like,
No, that's just me blocking the wind. You have a wind blocker.
You're fucked. That's it. Like, it's like, oh shit, your liver's collapsing. It's not like, there's very little build up to it. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, well, if you get cirrhosis.
One day you're just bright yellow, and that's it.
Yeah, if you get cirrhosis, it's not great.
I don't know. These are my concerns.
I don't know how final it is, but if you get cirrhosis of the liver, you can't deny that you're an alcoholic.
Well, no.
You possibly were quite the functioning alcoholic. You possibly just like didn't realize that your social glasses of wine every night were causing you problems. But anyway, it is a major problem. However, let's not talk about it in broad societal terms. Let's just talk about it in relation to the other stuff that you're feeling. I know we've talked about a lot. You don't have to repeat yourself. But like, why are you actually worried?
Because I because of my industry and because alcohol excites me so much. And also, but do you know what? Like, when I see people like you, and like my ex didn't, he's had like 8 years where he didn't drink, and I have certain friends who don't drink, I'm actually kind of envious of them.
Because?
Because I think they're more evolved than me.
More evolved?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just silly to put so much evolution on the not drinking.
I see it as becoming a weakness.
Yeah, but that's just your, that's just like a compare is to compete type scenario.
And you know what as well, because I'm a comedian, so when I hate writing material, it's a pain in the ass. So to make that experience less traumatic, I'll go by like, I'll have a glass of wine while I do it.
But
I write for a living. And then after my gig, when I gig, I'm like, my adrenaline's so high. I'm like, well, how do I come down? I'll have a glass of wine.
Yes.
So if my whole career is built around drinking, where is that going to leave me in 10 years' time?
Well, I mean, I think it's good to have fear for where it might lead. I think it's good to constantly check yourself. You can experience that in low-level scenarios like, I should be exercising more, I don't exercise enough, to the maybe more, perhaps more potentially damaging things like your alcohol consumption. But just from quick observations of you, like you don't come across as actually quite much of a problem drinker to me, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, you know, because you're aware of it, like awareness is not the only answer, but awareness is a key.
Yeah.
You probably will keep it in check, and if it gets out of control, have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely negatives to feeling like you have to have a glass of wine to write.
Yeah.
There's negatives if you feel like you always have to have a drink to come down after the show.
Like, what do you do when you gig? Like, what do? You just get into your car and go home.
Depends on the scenario. I mean,
How do you unwind?
Well, I can unwind pretty quick because I'm actually like, I'm very much a morning guy. So actually, my body has been trying to unwind from 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And I ramp it up, but it very quickly gets back down. But like, I definitely, listen, more of my negative behavior would be triggered up post-show when the ego's pumping and the adrenaline's pumping and you're kind of looking to take it to the next level. So, I mean, I have definitely like thrown texts out. I'm not talking about every time, but like, I've thrown texts out or, you know, tried to meet up with people I shouldn't meet up. Well, I could try to meet up with like a booty call or something.
So you unwind through sex?
No, sometimes.
Okay.
And I certainly can pursue it more post-show.
Yeah.
You know, things that had I waited an hour, I probably wouldn't be pursuing. Do you know what I mean?
If the moment passed. So that's your vice.
Oh, but it clearly is a behavior that I indulge in a lot.
Yeah.
But
so my vice is biz.
Yeah, but vice is a judgment.
Do you think? Would you think vice as a judgment?
Vice is clearly a judgment.
I wouldn't think of it as a judgment. It's like, that's your...
Well, it's a negative word.
No, it's not.
Well, what is it then?
I would see it as that's your...
You know that there's... Yeah, but you realize that there's a section of the police force called the Vice Squad.
Oh, yeah.
just so you know, they're not looking for people who are indulging in healthy behavior.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, I mean, vice is a negative
word. I guess
word.
What I mean is, what do you do? Like, what do you do to change, to but alter your state?
Yeah, but the majority of the time, honestly,
we're
I just go home.
State. Yeah.
The majority of the time, I just go home.
But like, I don't think there's
because
anything
honestly,
to alter your state.
Honestly, I would really consider my vice more than anything else, the actual comedy itself. Like, I actually feel like comedy is really my release, actually.
Okay.
I would put, because I actually indulge in the sexual stuff a hell of a lot less than I do in the comedy, but the comedy is the thing that I love, but also can leave me empty or, you know.
Yeah.
Comedy can do to me at times what booze did to me years ago.
So how many nights a week do you gig versus how many nights a week do you have sex?
Oh, I don't have sex that much. I'm not in a relationship. So there's no comparison. There's like absolutely no comparison. What are you worried about?
They the can't noise, even it's really annoying.
Which noise? The noise of the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I can't. It's not really coming through the mics.
Really?
Only a little bit, like.
Okay, sorry. I'm back in the room.
Yeah, the only sound that matters is the sound that's in these headphones. I mean, it will be coming through, but we are at an airport. There's nothing we can do. And I can hear you very clearly.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Sorry, can you not hear me when I'm talking?
I can hear you, yeah.
Because I can hear you really loudly.
This is like when Bob kept talking to the lads off camera when we were trying to do our bits yesterday. It's just really distracting.
Well, yeah, there is a propeller plane that has just landed, but I think it's actually about to stop, you know? But anyway, yeah, no, there's no comparison. I was just giving you one small example of how, like, I feel like I understand how the energy and the adrenaline of a show can drive you to do things that are not the healthiest.
I'm envious of people who can just like sit in themselves.
Yeah,
and they aren't always trying to alter their state. And I feel like I'm constantly trying to alter my state. Like I get very unsettled in myself if I'm not altering my state in some way.
But I can identify with that because even though, because alcohol is such an easy way to alter your state gently.
Yeah.
So I don't probably do it, quote unquote, as much as you. I'm still somebody that will desire to alter my state more often than perhaps I think I should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and, good. And yeah, but I don't think there's a lot of people in our business that aren't like that. It's a very high-low business.
It is very high-low.
So I think it's good that you have that awareness. I definitely have that awareness. I mean, I got all that awareness from AA and NA because they give you all this stuff about like your behaviors. Because like booze and drug consumption is just one of many behaviors that we do to alter our state.
I know, yeah.
You know? And obviously, giving yourself too much of a hard time is not healthy either. But like, I it's good to be aware of things that you think might be causing you pain in your life.
I think so, yeah.
You know?
I'm going to go in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and get a full medical, like a full NCT on my body and see. Oh my God, there's this amazing show on you. So I fall asleep at night listening to like documentaries and stuff. When I say documentaries, that's too highbrow, like shite, like basically. And there's this thing called, it's like Make My Body Younger. So they take these people who are like young and they're like mad session heads and they do like an autopsy on their body and tell them like what age their heart is compared to what age they are and like their liver and their lungs and everything. And it's fucking terrifying. It also makes you feel better about yourself because these people are like, one of them, he was 23. I thought he was in his 40s, the state of him. He had the heart and the lungs and ran his 50s.
Didn't the other actor do that? Yeah, I know, yeah.
I'd love to get that done.
I know, but honestly,
I'd love to know what age my heart is. I'd love to know what age my lungs are.
I bet you'd be surprised you're healthier than you think, I'd say.
I might be healthier than I think, yeah. Like, I hammered myself in my 20s.
Who the fuck knows if those things are even real?
Of course they're... Are you denying medicine now? Science?
No, but like often when, you know, some of these things that they figure out about your body are just total fucking bullshit. Like telling you your supposed metabolic age.
Yeah, I've never had that done.
Yeah, but then apparently, like, well, I did, you know, because Leo Varadkar came out and they told him he had a metabolic age that was like 10 years older. But then I looked it up and a lot of that stuff is just fucking mumbo jumbo.
You look very healthy.
Yeah, but that's just because
you have real glowy skin.
Yeah, I have a tan. That's unhealthy. My unhealthy relationship with the sun
your
makes me look healthy.
Your skin's very smooth. You look younger than you are. I think that's because you don't drink. That's another thing that pisses me off by drinking. It's aging me and I'm vain.
Yeah, but you look fine.
Thanks. Everyone wants to look fine.
Hit the fucking needle. Fill it up.
I've already hit the needle, you know that.
Yeah, hit it, fill it up, and, you know.
Yeah.
But alcohol is unhealthy. It's no doubt, you know? Like, if you're concerned about your sexual behavior, it's unhealthy, but it's not as unhealthy for your body. It's
no.
Emotionally and spiritually unhealthy at times,
yes.
Right? But in terms of, like, the physical toll that some of your vices can take on your body, alcohol's high up there.
I'd say 97% of my sexual experiences have been spiritually unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's another conversation. Well, which we can have.
No. You know? No, because I've had a Prosecco now and I don't know what I'd say.
Yeah, you get too loose, yeah. You know? But anyway, that's good that we talked about that in relation to...
It's my main focus at the moment. Drinking and feeling guilty about it. Or no, that's, I'm messing. Talking about it, like reading about it, finding out about it. I read this book by this guy called Jason Vale. It's okay to drink less. As I said, it's just because it's so associated. I've such strong associations now with it, with work, and it freaks me out.
Yeah, well, this is a job. This is a good job to check your relationship with alcohol because it's actually a very easy job to lose control of it.
Yeah. Yes, it big time is. Yeah. And you notice like loads of comics, they have like massive like alcohol problems or they don't drink at all.
Yeah.
There's very few that just go for a pint and go home.
Because it's very hard to control it. Like even look at this trip. So this trip is high-low, right? So I'm the high guy. I turned down so much high-end free booze in the last 4 days.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Like, there's just so much of that in our business.
I know.
You walk into a green room and it's full of booze.
Yeah, I know.
You know? So... It's tough when, like, I think it's much easier to not drink at all than to try to drink a little in our business.
Yeah, but then we were talking about that. You lose that kind of social bonding. You don't really have it. You don't really get to do those.
Okay, well, let's talk about that now. In one sec. I just want to say one thing before it jumps out of my mind.
Mm.
what most people forget is that alcohol is a very potent drug, and really it's meant to be enjoyed the way that we enjoy coffee, in that you never have much more than, say, two or three coffees. But certainly it's very hard to ramp up coffee consumption to the point where, like, you know, you've drank way, way, way too much. Whereas it's very easy to end up that way with alcohol.
Yeah.
And alcohol should never be more than one or two drinks at any time.
Yeah, it's so true. You know? Like I was saying to you, it's so exciting. Like, I walked in there this morning into that VIP lounge, and there's a full bar, and I got honestly was excited. I was like a child walking into Wonderland. I was excited.
Yeah.
What's that about? It's weird. It's like 9 a.m.
Because it's exciting. I would be excited. I would be excited too. I would be.
Yeah.
I would be excited.
I'm like, it's a game changer.
Yeah, because you're going to get out of yourself. Up. It feels fucking great.
Yeah.
But all drugs feel great. I mean, it's a very potent drug. And when I used to drink and take drugs, you know, at a time where I felt like this time it was going to be different, they would be an excitement like you wouldn't believe.
But the difference
between me and you is that this Prosecco that you're drinking would be the beginning of a 5-day spiral of chaos. But that does not happen to you.
No, and it doesn't. Which is great.
That's the big difference. So all you're doing is trying to just have a healthy relationship with alcohol, yeah. Which is great, because that's just like, that just to me fits into the sort of vernacular, the trendy thing that's out there now, which I think is good, which is very much around health and wellness.
Yeah. Yeah, no one wants to be the pisshead anymore. There was a time when it was cool.
That's because you're older.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think that...
But it's young people as well. That's why a lot of them don't drink. It's because they go out and like...
They're obsessed with health.
And they're also taking pictures constantly. Like, I remember when I used to go clubbing, and the next day, the club would put up all these pictures on Facebook of me and my mates, like, off our tits. Never asked us our permission. The pictures just went up. We'd no say over it. Whereas now, like, I went into this club in Dublin called Grace's. Recently, it was after my Vicar Street last year. I went out, as we'd say. I went out, actually.
Yeah.
I went out a bit of a triple O explosion. But it was a huge night for me or whatever. So anyway, and I ended up, went out with a load of girls, and we ended up at this club, Grace. I think it's a gay club. Anyway, so they take your phone off you when you go in.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They sticker the thing, and it's a young, like I was like, definitely the eldest person there. They put a sticker over your camera so no one can take pictures. And I took my phone out at one stage to try and WhatsApp someone, and someone came, they self-police.
Yes.
Someone came over, they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just looking for my mate. And she was like, all right, okay. And it's kind of a bit of a bondage club. It's not really, but like, I met this
lad. It's not Jess Brennan's night, is it?
No. It's actually, bondage is the wrong term to use. It's just a bit out there. Like, yeah. They're all dressed in their little leather, like, harnesses and all this shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they just want to be able to let loose without it being recorded.
Exactly. So that's actually where things are going, I think. I think it'll become uncool to be sharing things all the time and taking pictures.
Well, I agree, but I also think that this is an interesting thing that you bring up, which I'd never thought about before. Perhaps very few people ever really had to see themselves or hear themselves when they were drunk. I wonder if the fact that everything is recorded is actually making people aware of how ridiculous they are when they're drunk.
And yeah, there probably is. And also they're embarrassed because...
But that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, the embarrassment was, what did I do last night? But actually to look at yourself looking horrific.
I know.
Maybe it makes people paranoid. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. We used to think it was like macho. We'd be like laughing and everything. Like, how many times did you puke? Like, we thought it was hilarious. Waking
but
up
But honestly,
cuts.
Like, I watch some of these videos like of people out, especially the younger ones that just seem to think like it's really normal to just record yourself. And I just so grateful that it wasn't around.
I know.
I would imagine it was bad enough waking up with the fear without evidence of your stuff, like on your phone.
I know.
You know?
And we went out and we'd take like one picture in the dart station on the way out. And then that was it for the rest of the night. Maybe a picture at the end of the night. That was it. And we all had the exact same lipstick, the exact same eyeshadow, the exact same clothes. We were like a little girl squad. It was very cute. And then you find them and it's so nice because there's one picture of a night out and you're like, oh my God, remember?
Remember that? But now there's hundreds.
I know, they kind of lose their effect almost.
I don't
even look at photos anymore, really.
I have about at most 5, but possibly less, images of when I was drinking. There's so few. It was
Thank
amazing.
God.
I know, but to think about like how many pictures get taken on a night out nowadays, we never took...
I know.
I have one picture of like when I was like 2 years into recovery, like 2 years sober. One picture with my early recovery boys. And like, that's it.
I always get so jealous when I see those pictures of people before and after when they stop drinking. And like before they look like shit and then after they're like glowing. And you're like, oh fuck, I want the glowy face. But a girl I know actually did put it up recently. She's off the booze 3 years and there was no difference in her face. And I was like, that's a shit buzz.
You getting paranoid about who's around?
No, just looking.
Well, because we're in the smoker section, you know. We're in the smoke. I'm just checking the old phone here, making sure it's going. Like, you know, how long would you say we were talking?
I don't know.
I thought we were talking longer, 24 minutes. You know. But yeah. Anyway, that's booze.
I was in.
Have you ever tried to give it up?
No.
You've never said, like, maybe I'll just not drink for a while.
No.
Why don't you just do that for the crack?
Because it wouldn't be the crack.
Well, it would be. You just have to realize.
Because it's so ingrained. It's.
But you can break that behavior.
It's so habitual now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you can break that habit. You can break all the habits.
I'm very easy on myself. Like, I'm not that hard on myself. Like, if I want, I've no sense of delayed gratification. Like, I'm the marshmallow kid. Like, I'll just eat the marshmallows.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like. Like, if I'm like this,
but why wouldn't you?
A drink will make this situation easier, or a drink will make me writing less traumatic, or will get me to the table, or get me to the desk. I'll always do it. I won't deny myself anything.
But you know that you probably would write better without the booze.
So it's the first mouthful is the release of, like, okay, I'm happy to be here now, and then anything else is just not productive.
But of all the things we've talked about, I would think that is the one association that you should definitely break.
Yeah.
The sense that to write, I need to have a glass of wine. That is an unnecessary association.
Stupid. Sometimes I wake up the next day and I'm like, I can't even read the jokes. They're just like scrawled across the paper. I'm like, that is pointless. I know. So now I know. I'm like, it gets me to the table and the first mouthful, and then everything after that is not productive.
It's not beneficial at all. You've deluded yourself into thinking that the wine is making you write. What you're actually doing is you're pretending to write so you can have a drink.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, that is what you're doing.
It's not. Because then I'd be drinking in the morning and during the day, and I'm not. I would only drink in the evening if I was writing in the evening.
But do you write during the day?
Yeah.
Oh, so then there's not the association.
No, but I would love, like, I'm like, oh, it would make it much easier if I could have a glass of wine now, but I'm not going to. It's just such a strong association.
Yeah, yeah. You should break that. But that's like people who, like, give up smoking, but then they really struggle when they're having a cup of coffee.
I know.
You have just made the association.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be good to break that association.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Yeah, it would definitely be good to break that association. Like, I have to say, like, back in the day, I had such a bad association of finishing shows and then trying to, like, pick up women.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I have broken that association.
Have you?
But it was quite bad for a while. Like, it was just like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know? You do a show and then you try to hang out with a woman.
Yeah.
You know?
I just would never even think to do that.
But, you know, honestly, I'm not giving myself any credit. The only reason the association broke is because I'm older and I'm just too fucking tired and I can't be bothered. It's actually nothing to do with me evolving spiritually. It's just like, actually, I'd rather go to bed.
Yeah.
Because honestly, in my opinion, this is like my mantra for life. I try to pass this on to all boys so they can get themselves out of trouble. Once you choke one out, you will literally just, like, not give a shit about any of that.
It's beautiful.
I think all men should, it should be like from the age of 10. It's like, guys, there's so many things you're going to fuck up in your life if you make the decision before you choke one out.
Yeah.
Make the decision after, and I promise you it will be a better decision.
Yeah. And you could apply that to every decision, not just like romantic decisions.
No, I mean literally so many.
Yeah.
Because it's such a strong drive.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd love to know what it's like. I'm so glad I don't get erections. I'd hate to have my body.
But it's not even erection. Like,
no, but I'm saying the way your body, like, men are so easy to read anyway. Like, you're not very.
Yeah, but there's, in relation to the.
If my body, like, gave me up that fast.
What do you mean gave you up?
Like, I can fancy someone and be incredibly sexually attracted to them and they'd never know.
Yeah, but I can do that too.
Yeah, but your body could betray you. You could get an erection. You could get a hard on.
Oh right, yeah, but you're probably giving
probably
hard ons more.
Age.
No, but you're probably giving hard ons more credit than they deserve.
Huh?
Even the fierce desire is not always represented by an erection. But that's neither here nor there. The truth is that I am convinced that male horniness drives behavior more than female horniness, I think.
Oh, 100%.
And I don't know why that is. I don't know the physiological reason.
I think you have a higher sex drive than we do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know the stats on that.
I don't either. And, like, I did a podcast before and they were with these women and they were like, look, none of us knew what we were talking about. As in, like, none of us had, like, actual facts or information. Like, it was all anecdotal. But I was like, I know that, like, any relationship I've had, they've definitely had a higher sex drive than I have. Maybe not at the start, because you're, like, just riding, like, the clappers. But like eventually, do you know what I mean? Things kind of calm down a bit. And I know that I have sex differently, as in like I would have sex more like emotionally, I'd be more emotionally attached, la la la. And these women were like, no, no, we just like have sex and fuck and don't think about them ever again. And I was like, okay, I know you're telling me that, but I just don't believe that women have sex like men. I just don't believe it.
I mean, we did talk about that before. That comes up a lot on the podcast.
I just don't believe it for a second.
I know. But it is also very hard to know how much of that is innate and how much of that is cultural. I mean, we talked about it before, but it is very hard to say. And it's also very hard for you not to put your own judgments of your own experience onto that person, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to know.
But like, there's, don't they say it's something to do with evolution, as in like when women had sex, we had to stay, when we,
yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we got pregnant, then we had to make sure that we stayed and minded the kids, and so blah blah blah. There's all evolutionary reasons.
Yeah, and I do think that women have to be more careful because they clearly have more to lose.
What do you mean, like reputation?
No, I mean men can't get pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. But like, remember I was telling you about that lad when we were having dinner the other night, your man Ben. I probably shouldn't say his name, but anyway, like he was all over me like a rat up a drain pipe.
Well, I did like that conversation.
And then the second I slept with him, it was like a light just shut off in his face. And I was like, and I'd forgotten because I was going out with someone for ages. So I'm only back kind of in the dating scene now. And I assumed that I was, because I'm older now, that judgment or whatever had kind of passed. I was like, we're all adults, so it's grand. We can do what we want. And I was like, oh shit.
But do you think that was judgment on his behalf, or that's just pure selfishness and ignorance on his behalf? Do you know what I mean? Like,
it felt like a judgment.
Right, but I think that was you judging yourself. I think that's just him.
No, because he made a comment in the cab going back to his, and he said, now obviously we were about pissed, but he was like, he said something along the lines of, well, I know you don't do this that often, so dot, dot, dot.
Oh, like as if, so I'm not going to judge you?
Yeah.
Wow, but he was clearly such an asshole.
Yeah, he was an asshole.
By the way, I did tell that story on the shift on Tuesday, but I did not reference you, and I didn't even reference a timeline. I was just like, a friend of mine was telling me.
Yeah.
But now that you've actually said the story.
Unspeakable chivalry.
Because we were talking about fuckboys on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which I would have loved to have had you there. I said that on the podcast, that I would have liked to have had you there. But, you know, I didn't think it was fair. The day that we had, I didn't think it was fair.
Too long.
And also to try to organize a taxi, I just didn't think it was fair on you. But yes, I mean, that to me is the epitome of a fuckboy in terms of how I was looking for the, because honestly, for me, I was actually thinking that we were going to have a discussion about fuckboys in the framing of, why is it fine to dismiss men that have a lot of sex as fuckboys, but we've moved completely away from this concept of a slut being an acceptable term.
Yeah.
But first you said it when we were chatting by the taxi, but then when we did our bit of research, really, like, the male slut and the fuckboy are two different things from my, like, in that everyone's association with a fuckboy is somebody who is actually manipulating women.
Yeah.
And allowing, getting into a situation of having sex based on false pretenses.
Yes. That's what that's my association as well. That they're insincere. They're not authentic.
And that experience that you had was very much, I think, the extreme end of that. And I think what is way too common from all my stuff of doing the shift, it is way too common for men to be a certain thing until their load is blown, and then they completely change. Now, I think that it's not fair to judge men on that initial 10 minutes, because I actually think that there is a huge physical shift that happens in a guy, and you have to just let that moment pass. But for then that coldness to just be like, get out of my house. Like, do you want to tell this, what he actually said to you, or you not want to?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, yeah. So the next morning, there was actually more to it, but I'm not going to decide
on this.
You
just say what you want to say.
So the next morning, anyway, it was obvious that, like, he had lost interest in me completely. And the weird thing with him is that I actually think he was disappointed in me that I went home with him. That was the vibe I got. Do you know what I mean? That I'd let him down in some way, even though I was going home to have sex with him.
Yes.
That he thought of me as something different and I'd let him down by doing it. So the next day, he just seemed disappointed in me, basically. And
oh, so you did sleep there?
Yeah. He seemed disappointed in me, as in, like, as a woman, that I'd done that with him, kind of thing. Mm. And then the next morning, anyway, I was like, right, I have to get the fuck out of here. This lad is like zero crack. He was on his phone with his back to me. And I was like, you know, the way, the next morning, you're chatting and stuff. And I made a joke to him saying, oh, are you back on Hinge? Hinge being the app we met on. And he was like, no, I'm just answering emails. And I was like, that was a joke. Like, I couldn't get anything out of him.
Imagine being like, no, I'm just answering emails.
Yeah, like, it was a serious question. But like, he was answering it like that was a possibility. Like, he could have been back on Hinge. That's the way he answered it. And I'm like bollock naked in his bed. I was like, this is so weird. Anyway, so then he said, I was like, I have to get out of here. So I said, here, of course, I've only moved to London, so I've no idea where I am. I know idea where I am in comparison to where I live.
Yeah.
London's huge. So I was like, here, do you drive? And he said, yes. And I said, do you have a car? And he was getting suspicious now. He was like, yeah. And then he's like, Joanne, I'm not driving you anywhere. And I was so shocked. I was like, and he said, my ego would not allow it.
That's the line that I can't believe he said that.
My ego.
That's
and I said, I just kind of lay there for a second. And I went, what does that even mean? And at this stage, like, he just hated me. And he was like, oh, because I'd been asking questions that morning. And he was like, oh, Joanne, it was a joke. I didn't expect to get asked about it again. And I was like, it was a shit joke. I do jokes for a living. It was a shit joke. I said, I don't get it. And he's like, basically what I'm saying is that driving you anywhere would be an unspeakable act of chivalry. And I just don't think I feel that way about you yet.
I mean, unbelievable. An unspeakable act of
unspeakable
chivalry. Giving
act.
Somebody a lift home.
Yeah.
By the way, I am no saint. I've been a dog in my life.
Yeah.
But actually, I'll always drop you home.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, he's worried about his ego. I'm worried about my fucking guilt. I actually do it to alleviate my own guilt.
He was doing it because he was like, it would lower himself in his own eyes
whereas
to
I'm
give me a lift anywhere.
I'm driving you home being like, I'm never going to text this bitch again, but at least I'm going to give her a lift.
I know. What a that's like his attitude towards it was so bizarre. It's like the act of a narcissist. It was just so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, I it's great that you tell it, and it's great that it happened because now you have that story for life.
I know, it's brilliant.
But I mean, yeah. So that's why I wished actually that you had been there with me and Katie. But like, you know, it's great that we're chatting about it now.
But that's the nice thing about, like, even though I'm so lazy with dating, and I do want to get back into it now, and I do want to, like, get back on the dating scene. I did give it a crack for a while, and then because I'm not there enough, and I'm traveling so much, and you can't get momentum with people. Anyway, but I'm going to go back into it because honestly, I always get material out of it. Like, so even if it's a shit show and the experience is desperate, I'll be laughing about it within 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. And I just sometimes, I mean, I don't know if I 100% agree with you that all women aren't able to just have sex, but I just...
All women are what? Hold on, what did I say?
You know the way, I was quickly saying something to try to get to the point because I thought about this and I was holding on to it. It was something, you made me think of something when you were in the taxi, and I think this was it. When you were telling the story, but I didn't want to interrupt you. You know, that he was like, I know you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't, this isn't like your thing normally. Like, he was judging you.
Yeah.
But also, in my mind, I just kind of go like, yeah, but if you really just wanted to fuck this guy, like, why is that so bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I've asked men that before, and they've said, well, if she's doing it with me, she's doing it with everyone. And I think with lads, it's an ego thing. They want to feel like they've won something. Not that something was handed to them that's been handed to loads of other people.
I know, but here's the hilarious thing about that. If I thought that, if I was like, well, if she's doing this with me, she's doing it with everybody. But all that I am then saying is, then this girl is just like me.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I hate myself.
You met your match. It's really cute. It's actually really romantic. But this is the other thing I don't get about, like, when lads slut shame women. It's like, why are you biting the hand that feeds you? These are the women who are prepared to sleep with you. Like,
oh, no,
100%. I mean?
But you should
not be judging them or turning them down.
I agree.
But they don't turn them down. They have sex with them and then they judge them. It's the fucking worst. Like,
that is
snakes.
The worst. But here's my problem. You can't control that because men are dogs, right? But you can control the judgment that you put on yourself and that you put on, you know, like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, nobody likes to be judged. But at the same time, if fucking the narcissist wants to make you feel like shit about what you just did, who gives a fuck? And you walk out of there and you go, well, you know what? I don't care.
I actually found it kind of empowering in a way because I walked out because it's different now. I'm older. So, like, back before when I was single, before my last relationship broke up, I was way more precious with sex. Like, I saw it as, like, this special treat that was to be, like, given to men. Am I being really loud?
No. I was just keeping an eye on her.
I worked for it and I didn't want to be, like, I was so terrified of getting, like, rejected or whatever. Whereas I'm way more confident now. Way more confident now. Probably a bit too confident now. So now I'm just whatever. I'm kind of throwing it away way more. and it's much more freeing.
I know, but even the sentence throwing it away.
I know, I'm just still fucking dialing it out.
But no, but it's still the concept of you're giving away something.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah,
this is like this is a thing that you shouldn't be giving away.
Yeah.
Well, hi, how are you?
Thanks, Amel. Giving it away to so what I would think of it as people who don't like necessarily deserve it. Like I would see it as I'm yes. giving part of myself. Like that yes. person is I know, taking that, a tiny part of me.
I know, that but
But that was my previous perspective on it, whereas now yeah. I don't really see it like that anymore.
Yes.
Which is great. But I think that's age, really.
I think a lot of it has to do with age, because I do... Well, I think a lot of things with age, as you get older, you realize that nothing is as sacred as it seemed.
No. And I'm more secure myself. I'm just like... Yeah. I walked out of that lad's house, and I was like, what a dope. And I rang yeah. one of the girls, and we laughed and laughed, and laughed and laughed.
Well, that's good, then. That's good. Because yeah. I left. Well, we laughed. We just left.
We laughed and laughed. I was like, oh my God, what a fucking knob. And that was the end of it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but then on the flip side, then there's the really negative fuckboy experience, which is you have the same experience, except it's some of the best sex you've ever had in your life. And you fucking, you feel really comfortable with the guy. And you do it like two or three times. And then he just disappears.
I know. See, that, I that came up
a lot.
That,
that came up a lot on the, and I think I've done that. I have to be honest. I've definitely. But the thing is that when I've done that, it wasn't deliberate. You know, well,
which
that's
even worse.
No, it doesn't excuse it. But what I'm saying is that
it's so dismissive. Then, like, there's nothing worse than being
well,
dismissed.
Well, I've never ghosted somebody who you've gotten to a certain level of closeness. But I have sort of like. Quickly changed my tune, but I've been honest, like, and just been like, I don't want to continue this. Yeah. But I definitely like. I wouldn't have been trying to manipulate them.
Yeah, I know. Your feelings genuinely changed.
Yeah. But probably like, too fast. You know, like that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know,
she like, was maybe potentially getting feelings, and you were losing feelings. That's the worst.
Yeah. Although I do think some of that. Although I have to say I've been with women who have checked out, and I am a little bit better at not chasing, you know.
Yeah, it's hard.
Whereas
not to
I
chase.
Have yeah, it's hard
it's
not to
it's
chase.
It's rejection. Like it's ultimately when you feel rejection, it's like anything. You just want to get it back.
The validation back.
And the
yeah.
more you chase, the more you push, the further they go. Like nothing is more unattractive than someone who's mad about you. It's very unattractive.
Yeah. I have definitely done it. Like even doing the podcast the other day, particularly with the feedback that Katie was getting, because there was some really funny ones. One or two scenarios I saw myself in, I have to say. You know, I mean, there's no point in trying to pretend that you haven't done it. I mean, you know, there have definitely been times where I've been with somebody a short space of time, but it's been quite intense, and then I have just shut off.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I haven't just like left them hanging. I've been honest about it, but I definitely have just shut off. 100%, you know? So, but then there have also been times where, like, I've had a brief encounter, which was, like, brief for the both of us. Like, neither of us would have had, like, the normal human time to get super attached. And then when it doesn't go anywhere, I've gotten fucking ferocious pushback from the woman. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, where was either of us? You know, like, this is something super quick that happened. Like, we met and we fucked. And, it just happened. And then, like, there's no follow-on. And then I get, like, this, who the fuck do you think you are? And I'm just like, I'm sorry, but, like, this happened super quick for both of us. Like, I knew you a few hours, we had sex, and like, you know, I don't have a huge desire to see, well, I don't say that, but you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, what do I owe you? Because funnily enough, I don't think you owe me anything.
Yeah, but they obviously feel that they've been rejected in some way, or yes. that they've been conned. They feel like you conned them.
Yeah, but
pause this just while that thing takes off?
Is that bugging you?
Yeah, it's really pissing me off.
I know, but I can hardly hear it.
I can really hear it.
Okay, well, let me just... You just listen to me for a sec.
Okay.
Just in the sense that I... But it's the con thing that came up a lot with the fuckboy conversation, which is very interesting because, like, I am very conscious of, like, never promising something that's not on the... You know, like... And I just think in a one-night stand scenario where you both just have this, like, ramped-up passion, you know, I don't know where the con begins. Like who? Like
because they feel like they've given. This is what. So this comes back to the thing that we were talking about at the beginning.
Thing.
Yeah,
the
that
giving
they
up.
Feel they've given you something potentially,
yes.
and that you've taken it and then not followed up.
Yes.
Whereas, that you've returned them. You've done it. You've done a gift return. You've just like sacked them off, basically.
Yeah, which is interesting because what's weird is that I expect like I am aware that this. And don't get me wrong, I've had like one night stands where it's clearly the woman just wants the fuck, and there is like. Honestly, all my one night stands feel that way, especially in my more mature adulthood. Like, especially in like more recent times where I'm just like way more aware of dynamics and I'm like very honest, you know, like I have had scenarios where it's all coming from her. It's like all the push. We're going back to yours. You're coming back to mine. You know, all the push is coming from them. But I've just had one night stands where it's just a super passionate, super quick thing. And I just don't know where the con has happened because it's just like, you've driven this. But I think it might be booze too, that actually when they sober up, well, you know, like when they're
a bit of regret. When I was younger, I would have felt devalued by that. Like I would have felt shit about myself. Like I would have.
I know, but who did that? Was it me or was it you?
Because if I felt there was a kind of a mutual understanding that I was doing this, and then I didn't hear from you or whatever else, I would have felt you'd done me over, basically.
But yet at the same
time. And then I would see, I think you'd see like me as less than you'd seen me before. Do you know that way?
Yeah, which would absolutely never be the case. Like I have no judgment on the woman. And also, by the way, like I remember one time I had this like mad fucking one night stand where she must have been married. I don't know. But just like, it was just like she was in New York and she wanted this to happen. I talked about it before. And we had sex. She spent the night. And we actually had sex again in the morning. And then she disappeared. And I actually tried to keep it up. And she had like zilcho interest. Like other than just like, yeah, it was fun. I actually tried to like, I said, listen, you know, the next time I'm in South Carolina, I'll give you a text. And she was just like, yeah, I doubt it. And I was just like, fuck, I wanted to high five her.
Yeah, but was she saying I doubt it as in I doubt you will text me?
No, she had no interest.
Yeah.
She got what she wanted. But I wanted to high five her. So what I'm saying is, like,
he wants to high five her for not wanting you.
Yeah, I just wanted to be like, amen, sister. I get it. You got what you needed. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, but that's because you've been in that situation
but also,
it's like when people cancel plans on me. I'm always delighted because I do it so much. I'm delighted to have it done to me. It relieves the guilt.
I know, but I didn't think anything was done to me because she didn't do anything to me. The only part of the contract was she wanted to come back to my place and have sex.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the contract about the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, fair
so
enough.
So this is what I'm saying. Where is the con?
Because no one knows what the contract is. Everyone has different expectations of the contract. The contract's invisible. No one's ever seen it.
Yes.
Unless you literally sit down and work it out beforehand, which I mean no one's going to do because that's zero crack. And you want to keep the mystery around it.
Yeah.
And you won't know if you want to see each other again after anyway till the next day, really.
So this is my thing. I keep saying it. I had a conversation with I have a friend who's just had like a horrible breakup. And she always disagrees with me, even though she consistently gets hurt by men. I try to keep telling her that like men... Obviously, men and women are different, but like men really are dogs.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Like they really are dogs, and they're just way more comfortable with behavior that seems fucking horrible to women.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Men cannot comprehend it.
I know.
I don't know how you can get men to comprehend it. I've been guilty of it myself.
Comprehend what now? Sorry.
Just like why you would be so hurt.
Yeah.
In certain situations.
Yeah.
Right. They can't comprehend it. It you know, and I don't know why that is. And then so I said, men are dogs. You need to accept it. And I write that. I showed you the text. I said, I write that as I'm wagging my tail.
Yeah.
I was just joking. I was trying to cheer her up. And by the way, this was at the end of the conversation. I had written much more like meaningful stuff to her to, you know, to make her feel better because actually she deserves it because she's actually like an amazing person. She is an ex, but like we're very close and she's been there for me and I've been there for her. Like we have a very close relationship. So I really wanted to make her feel better because I know that she had really let herself believe that this guy was the one. But then she immediately disagreed with me and she was like, I know there's good men. You know, I have friends that are married to men and I have friends that are men. And I jokingly said, they're not good, they're just tamed.
Yeah.
You know, like
we're lying.
But I didn't write that to her, but that was my thought that you keep giving men more credit than they deserve.
Mm.
But on the flip side, women have to take some responsibility for their naivety. It's just like millennia of shitness.
Well, women cheat as well. You don't know what's going on in their
100%.
Relationships.
100%.
But
anyway, that's 50% comedy, 50%.
Yeah.
You know, reality.
You know?
Because
I don't think we have to take responsibility for our naivety at all. I had an ex-boyfriend who was constantly crossing lines with other women and constantly flirting with other women. And I don't even know. Like, he probably cheated on me. I don't know. But like, I had no clue any of that shit was going on. And then I did know and I believed him when he told me it was nothing and they were just friends and all this bullshit. Fuck, I forgot my point.
Well, you said you don't think women should take responsibility for their night. You don't.
Oh, that if men are, they can be very convincing. That they're like, it's not naivety if someone is just really good at hiding their tracks.
Yeah. So you don't think like fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah. No, I do actually believe that, Joe. I do.
Like just in.
Do you want to believe them when they say?
I know. And then, of course, there are good men out there. It's very easy to be completely
there
cynical.
There of course are.
But I also do think, I think we've talked about this in normal life. For some reason, we're tied into perceptions of love and romance and the difference between sexes that are unachievable and unrealistic. You know, in that, you're never going to find in your relationship the thing that you think is there. It's going to be compromised. They're going to let you down. You're going to let them down. And I just wish we could lower the bar a bit.
Yeah. I think if you're looking, and I would be guilty of this, like, I mean, I had that epiphany in the taxi the other day with you. I was like, I basically want a boyfriend who doesn't really like me that much. Like, what
but
the
I,
fuck?
I'm the same as you, though. I completely identify with that. Like, I
that's
definitely,
dark.
I fall in, yes, but well, that is dark. That's like save that for the couch, baby. Save
dark.
That for the couch.
Like, what is that? Like, okay, can I get a Prosecco?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
thanks.
I'll talk about you while you're gone. No, I'm just kidding. I'll stop it. So we're back, Katie.
Hello.
I can't even pretend. Let's not pretend that you've listened to the app and you're responding to that. I haven't sent it to you yet.
No, we just paused for
very
a
unprofessional
awkward
seconds. But I wish, you know what I might do actually?
What?
Because this doesn't go up till tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I will be able to, you'll be on your way to San Francisco, but hopefully I'll be able to update our listeners because I'm sure they're fucking nail biting what happened with our friend.
Oh my God, yes, yeah, stop. Tell her to message me. Tell her when she's in New York to be my friend.
Oh yeah, she will. She'll come in and visit you.
Yeah. Oh. So I hope my voice is good. But
she told me I could talk about it, so I don't know why I was being so secretive.
No. And like the chances that this bloke is going to listen are very.
I know, because what would really suck is if he redeems himself and actually they spend the next 3 days together, and then 2 weeks later he listens to the shift and it's like, you fucking bitch.
No, not at all, because in fairness to her, it sounds like she's being like, oh, but he's busy, and it sounds like everybody else is like, oh, fuck
oh,
this
trust
guy
me.
So it sounds like she's been very nice about the whole thing. She sounds fucking great. He should be marrying her. She sounds chill. She's there for fucking 16 days and she only saw him three times.
20 years younger, I'd be fucking married.
I know. If I were into ladies. Never knows. But no, yeah, she sounds great because, like, yeah, she could have been a lot more demanding of his time in the 2 weeks, in fairness to her. In fairness.
So, well, that's our episode.
Yeah, and thanks, guys, for the reviews. Bar
yeah,
one reviewer,
reviews.
She called
you're
shy.
You're yeah, except for that. But that, listen, that was just a technical thing, which we've rectified in the meantime.
Yeah,
for those listeners that
sick.
Listened to last week. We are now aware that Katie's voice was a little bit low.
Yeah, and it's my fault.
Well, I wasn't going to blame you.
It was my fault, which is annoying because like I edited in college. Well, whatever. I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah,
now.
But that's fine. But you've put it back up now in the meantime. And
yeah,
you know, for those
now,
people don't need to go back and listen again. It's just that for the future, like the people that hear it will, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I also was sort of sick as well, so I was holding back a cough the whole time, but I feel great because I'm always talking on the podcast about how I feel sick, and this week I feel fucking great.
Brilliant.
I know, I'm cured.
I mean, I've had some weird chest infection now coming on close to a month, but
everybody's getting it.
Well, can't you say, like, my voice, I feel like my voice has been like more scratchy than normal for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Like I was like two or three weeks trying to shift that, and every comedian in the city was the same. Everybody
yeah,
was
it's just
dying.
That never ending. I know, because I actually asked. I asked the audience in Clonakilty, has anyone had this never ending cold? And like 15 people raised their hand. It's just like a one that's going around this year.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
So anyway, more reviews. You know, they do make a difference. Like when you leave the reviews, you jump up the charts. Like the reviews are huge when it comes to the chart position. So just in case you're wondering why we're always asking you guys to leave reviews, when you get reviews on iTunes or on the Apple Podcasts and the 5 stars and the reviews, it just jumps your position on the charts. Like it's huge.
And then when I post about it and charitable, it's because it shows the reviews from all over the country.
That's all Ireland, over the world, yeah. Because otherwise you're looking at wherever.
So I can only see the American reviews here. I can't see the Irish ones. When I was back in Ireland, I could only see the Irish ones. But it's charitable's great because then you're like, oh, this person in England. Oh, this person in Australia.
Yes.
So come on, lads.
All over the world, please review us.
Please. All good reviews. 5-star. Don't be coming at me with 2-3-star and saying that I sound shy.
And me and Mama shows, I'm in Dundalk Wednesday, Thursday. I think there's like 10 tickets left for Dundalk on Wednesday if anybody's thinking about going. And then the next few that I've sold out. The next time you can get tickets to my show is Athlone.
I love Athlone.
Athlone in Port Leash, which is in a couple of weeks. But it's all desbishop.net/tour dates. Katie will be in San Francisco.
And then LA, baby. Oh. LA on Friday.
Nice. You getting spots?
The Irish show we're doing in... you have five to six spots in LA. Is to be confirmed. And 6 shows in San Francisco. And one of the shows I'm doing at the Punchline is just an Irish lineup, but it's sold out, actually. So we can go to the other shows. But yeah, the shows in LA should be fun. I've never been to LA, so I'm very excited about that.
All right, well... Until next week, guys, thank you very much.
Love yous.
Bye. So, just a final update, guys. Just got the text. He texts back and said he's going to try to get out of work early Tuesday or Wednesday because he really wants to see her before she goes. And she said, yeah, you know, she'd be happy with just an hour on Wednesday. So that's where it ended up, guys. And I'm happy that she's happy. That's the most important thing. And we'll see. We'll see. Bye, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.